prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Are you? Amen. Amen. Just to be a sanctuary for the Lord. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your Bible, turn to Daniel 9, as we'll read again verse 24, and then we'll read Leviticus chapter 8. Daniel 9, Leviticus chapter 8. Good to see everybody. Good to have a visitor back there with us. We always say welcome to you the first time you come. Second time you come, you is part of us, so we don't call your name, don't make you say you're welcome. But everybody's always welcome to come, but we just greet you on the first time. And but just remember each of the announcements. Remember, Brother Harris will be preaching, the Lord willing, Wednesday. Remember that we will be having Bible study on Saturday at 6 o'clock. Here at the church, so just, you know, come and be with us and have a good time. And we're trying to get to a basis to where we can kind of set a topic like to, you know, just kind of discuss, and maybe we can get that done this time. We was talking about it last time, and that way it would be maybe more interesting, and then we will cover, you know, your personal questions or thoughts or whatever that would be brought. So just remember that. Also remember Sister Janice Wilson, I know you have, and that her back's bothering her. So remember that. Remember Way to be traveling home tomorrow. And just ask the Lord to give him safety and journey and give him a good time there, because he's out now traveling to preach the gospel to different places. And that's, you know, these brothers going out. We appreciate it. Appreciate the Lord for the opportunity to see the word actually go forth. You know, maybe I can't go myself, and that's fine. That's great with me. But maybe the others can take the word and you know, break it down to the people. But we appreciate it. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this afternoon. Thank you for the time that we have. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come together and to sit down for a moment and just fellowship with one another. We ask you now that you would just direct our thoughts and let us, Lord, have the right attitude in our mind, and our thoughts would be collected together on you and to what you would have to be said unto us. Thank you for coming to our hearts and speaking to us and showing us the better way of thy word, that we may see it, Lord. We thank you. We ask now that you would just guide each one, be with Wade as he's traveling home, Lord, and just let your light shine to the people there as he ministers unto them. And just guide each and every one now in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel 9:24, and then we'll go to Leviticus 8. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgressions, to make an end of transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. And this morning we took where it says, and to seal up the vision and prophecy. Now this afternoon we're going to talk about, and to anoint the most holy. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 8. You'll immediately see that this is leading up to the finishing of the temple And this is the consecration, whatever how you pronounce that word, of the priest and the buildings and everything. So we'll begin reading about verse 5. Leviticus 8, chapter verse 5. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. Now he's going to tell what it is. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put up on him the coat and girded him with the girdle and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod upon him. And he girded him with the cuirass girdle of the ephod and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and Thummim and the Thummim. And he put the mitre upon his head. Also upon the mitre, even upon his forefront, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now here's what we want to get to. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified it. Right. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar seven times and anointed the altar and all his vessels, but the laver and his foot to sanctify them. Now watch. And he poured out of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Now just keep in mind that it was the same oil. Alright? Same oil to anoint the temple. It was the same oil to anoint Aaron. Alright? Just remember that. And just the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And you may be seated. But just keep that in your mind. Now, and it'll help you to understand the message more when we get into it, the Lord willing. If we might not be able to finish this afternoon, but it won't matter. We'll take it up later. Because we want to talk about now, we've gotten down to the last one, is to anoint the most holy. Now, we've covered, as I said, the things about the children of Israel and the 70 weeks. And there in Daniel 9:24, it gave the six things. And the fifth one was one we covered this morning, and we've already covered at length about Israel, but we're talking about what these things pertain to you and I. We're seeing ourselves in the Word, not just talking about Israel. That's where most people, they just bring out a scripture, and they say, well, that's Israel, and that's this for them, and they go through this, and they do that, and all. But see, to me, when I read the Bible, I read it for myself, first, to see myself. Because that's what it's to be to you and I. It's not to just to be or to see someone else. It's to see ourselves. It's the Word of God. Right? And then that way we can truly see that we have received a message. Now what did we cover this morning? This is a small background. See, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. Now, we covered how the Holy Spirit is the only revealer of the Word. Now, not because you have read. There's people in this message that can quote all that the prophet has said and still tied up in worse doctrinal issues than it was when, we were in denominationalism. Alright? And, see, as I said this morning now, no one can understand the book of Daniel without the new birth. There's no way to understand the book of Daniel. Even Daniel couldn't understand because it was taken from him. It said, seal up the vision and the prophecy. All right? It was taken from him, the understanding. He might, as the prophet said, heard the thunders, but he didn't understand. All right? Then we tried to cover how that if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're just like Israel. We say, oh, them Israelites, they just can't understand. They can't read the Bible. That poor old Nicodemus, he come to Jesus, and all he had to do was just believe. Well, he believed a whole lot more than we do most of the time by proving it, because it was putting his life on the line. His job was on the line. Everything was involved with his decision to go see Jesus. But we say, well, oh, we can understand that because it's easy to look back and see what something has been and then try to talk about it. But remember now what I was trying to say, that there's no way for anyone, even the apostles, did not understand the visions and prophecy of the book of Daniel. Even Brother Branham, being a prophet, didn't understand it until God revealed it to him in about 61 there when he began to speak on it. Sure, he's seen certain things. You know, sure. Because of denominations, we talked about certain things and all. But I'm talking about seeing the real truth of it, the understanding of what it was all about. Because there's just no way to do it because of what it was told to Daniel. Seal up the vision and the prophecy until the time of the end. So even the apostles couldn't understand the great hidden truths. They were in the Bible. They didn't know what the seals were and the things like that. That was to be done in the end time, and they didn't understand the book of Daniel, and most people today don't understand it. See, how many ministers in this message have you heard speak on Daniel 70 weeks? Well, evidently it must be a lot of people don't understand it because, you know, I don't have a backlog of sermons that I can just preach all of my day-longs off of, you know. I only speak as God gives it to me, you know. And I don't have no book that I can order a bunch of sermons out of to be able to just preach one more night with the frogs or something like that. That I heard a brother in this message preach that one time, and I thought that's a pretty good message, you know, one more night with the frogs. And I thought, hey, someone raise a ring to that somewhere, though. What is that? What does that sound like? Where'd that come from? Well, then I got around and began to notice something about a Pentecostal group, and that was an old doctrine, you know, an old sermon that was preached in the Pentecostals. You know, one more night with the frogs. Well, I thought, well, that's all right, you know. You need to bring in frogs on over here, too, but, you know, but we need to understand a little better. But see, now, did you understand my point where I can move on this way? Just because you can read the message does not give you the revelation.
Right.
Now, Brother Brown said, I can't reveal nothing to you. He said, even Jesus said, my own life didn't reveal that unto thee. Right. Said, only the Father can reveal it to you.
Right.
And He's the Holy Spirit made manifest in that form of what we know as the Father. All right, so the Christ is the only revealer of the Word.
Right.
Well, I've read the message. I've read it, and I've read it. Great, read it again. As I said this morning, Oral Roberts has got Brother Brown's message in his library. Does that mean they understand? There's great men that walked with Brother Branham that was there when probably 70 weeks of Daniel and stuff like that was preached. But where are they today? See? See, it's got to be revealed. The only way that it's done, it's sealed up until it's revealed to you. We are the ones that are in the end time.
Right.
And see, when God reveals it to you, then, as I ended this morning, I hope you caught the end of the message, but when God reveals that to you, He seals it up in you.
Right.
Because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? See, that's why I said this morning, you know, I could just keep on going because, see, it just goes into so many things. But see, when you receive the new birth, that sealed up what word that is in you. On the day of Pentecost, those disciples had heard the word for 3.5 years, and when the Holy Ghost came, it sealed up what they had, gave them what we call the faith of the fathers. But the 3,000 outside only heard one message. So what could the Holy Spirit seal? Only what they heard. So they had to be taught by the other disciples, see, to come to where they were. That should be easily understood.
Right?
But see, it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it.
Right.
Because one mortal, it's hard to get one human to believe another human. And as I said, and once I say it, so I got it now because Brother Dale said what Brother Branham said. Now that doesn't mean one thing to you except for one thing. You got more mechanicalism or something, ever how you would say the words, you know. You've got more maybe thoughts on it or more words, ideas, you know, that were related to that. Something to express it. Because I realize that when I try to preach, I can't reveal nothing. I'm depending upon God to speak to your heart.
Right.
Because it's not up to me. It's up to Him to reveal. He said the gates of hell can't prevail against the revelation. But it can prevail against me and you just if we're not in the Word. Now watch the message now this evening as it continues on the thought that is on. But I want you to consider the vision. Remember what I said about this message is a prophecy. And that's what it said. To seal up the vision and prophecy. And until this message is revealed to you, you can talk all you want to and quote all you want to, but until it's revealed, you do not have a vision of what it's supposed to be or what the prophet spoke about. Yet you can tell me everything he said. I've seen things years ago, and I could have given you lengthy services upon what I saw the prophet said. But yet one split second of revelation is greater than all of those intellectual services we could have. But now I can't make God reveal it to you.
Right.
All I can do is just speak what He gives me.
Right.
And the prophet said all a minister does is break the spell Satan's got over your eyes. He said then God can speak straight to you.
Right.
Well, I try to choose the words that'll break that spell. But I was back there, I already had my notes written out pretty well to which way to go this evening, which would have been correct. But yet the Lord, as I started to go through it, I looked, and it was just, there it was. It just unfolded into something that I'd never thought about in what I was going to speak about. Well, that's the way I like it. You know, that's the way I like it. I like to be studying on something to show you something, you know, that the Lord has spoke to me about, but then the Lord speak to me something that comes on down, you know, to opening it to me.
Right.
But now, do you see what I'm talking about? Then without the Holy Spirit, nobody can understand. No man can call Jesus a Christ except it be by the, what? By the Holy Ghost itself in you, or you're saying what somebody else says.
That's right.
You read the Bible. You say, I can memorize that Bible. You're only saying what somebody else says. You say, I'll memorize the message of the hour. You're only saying what somebody else says. Alright? See, Satan can take that away from you. Yeah. Satan can take away from you your intellectual understanding.
Right.
Because he can come along with somebody with more intellect and they'll pull you away. Now, I don't care who comes along, he can't take a revelation from you.
That's right.
So you'll just stand right there and say, well, I don't know, but this is what I believe. I had people to withstand me years ago about the way I saw the 70 weeks of Daniel. But I couldn't change it. Well, you're just stubborn. I'll agree with you. No problems. But I'm just stubborn enough to stay with what I've got until God speaks to my heart. Well, I told you. We was listening the other day to a message and we had been to a minister's meeting here at the church, and this brother, he got up in the minister's meeting, and he addressed me personally, and he said, Brother Dale, that's what I've been trying to get you to see. I thought, well, what have you been trying to get me to see? He said, don't you remember I preached two or three times on feed my sheep? Oh, now I know what you're talking about. I tried to tell you you was too deep. Feed my sheep. See, he spent a couple of services preaching, and I remembered it then. And then when that come back to me, it all rung a bell. I well remember. See, the brother was trying to tell me I was preaching too deep. You know, feed my sheep, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. Well, he's speaking personally to me. He would just come to me and told me. It wouldn't have mattered what I preached, but I'd have tried to make it more simple. You know, I mean, I'd have done that if he'd have just come to him and told him, hey, you're just too deep. Well, if I'm too deep, how come the Holy Spirit can agree with it sometimes? You know, I don't understand that part, but that's all right. Now let's get on with the message this afternoon. See, this last thing we're going to speak of is to anoint the most holy. All right, now we covered in the services what the prophet had to say about this, you know, of the 70 weeks. And they're saying we're just now speaking of what it is to us. Right? Now, in those things, we covered that the prophet said, contrary to most people's thinking, that there would be a, even the people of this message, even today, well, I said they don't understand Brother Branham. Brother Branham said that to anoint the most holy was to anoint the millennial tabernacle, our temple, to be erected in the millennium. Well, see the people of this message, what do we need a temple for? Oh God, we're the temple of the Lord. You know? See, they don't understand. He even gave you the scriptures, Ezekiel 40 to 44, the erecting of the temple on earth of the millennium temple. You know. But people say, no, there's not going to be no millennium temple. No, we don't need any temple. Well, just remember, they're contrary to Brother Branham, not contrary to me. I mean, am I a smart aleck because I found that? Didn't you read it too? I mean, I asked you to read them things. Didn't you read in there, Brother Dick, where he said from Ezekiel 40 to 44, the very scripture, he said that the millennial temple being erected on earth. Well, what's the problem? What's the trouble then? But what do we need a temple for? Because God said there's going to be one. What do we need with a future home to live in? Come on, why do we need a future home to live in? Why don't we just let spooks float through the air? And just, you know. But there's going to be a future home one day. And there's going to be streets. There's going to be all kinds of things in the future home. But there won't be no temple in the future home now when we get over there. Because Revelation about 21 or 22 said he's the Lamb is the temple. But see, the prophet said there'll be things in the millennium that won't be in the future home. All right. So then let's deal with it one at a time. Now, why? I'll try to cover a little bit here on the back part of the message, and it'll help you about what I tried to say about it, but why do you need a millennial temple? You remember how we covered it? That then we could take the temple, the things would happen, you won't have no sacrifices, there won't be no animals, you know, killed in the millennium for sacrifices and things. Because he's the Lamb too, already there, you know, and everything. You won't have no animal sacrifices and stuff like that. The prophet never talked of those things. If he did, you know he's just speaking. So go and listen to what he would say later, that everything's killed for the millennium, and then he'd say there ain't nothing, no death in the millennium. How can it be death when the devil is bound that causes death? All right? But now, listen. This is what struck me a little bit ago. Paragraph 118, 119 of the sixfold purpose. I read them to you back there, you know, when we was reading. If you got your book, you can look at it. The prophet said, this is not to anoint a man, but to anoint the temple. This is not to anoint a man. This is to anoint the temple. Alright? Now, he said Jesus was already anointed. And remember, it is when he's speaking to Daniel there, it's to Daniel's people, remember? that we read in 24 there of Daniel 9 to the people and the holy city. You know, the city. Not just dealing with the people totally. It winds up dealing with a city. All right. Brother Branham said then, there where I gave you, he said that in 2 Chronicles 5 and 13, he gave you the scripture. He said, and when the tabernacle that was destroyed, remember Moses and them, then Solomon built the temple, you know. He said, and when it come to the time of the reconstructing of the temple in 2 Chronicles under Zerubbabel, he said the temple wasn't anointed again. He said, but because it was already anointed. Now, have you really thought about that? Let me ask you a question. This is why my thoughts are just kind of... Because you see, if you've seen what I got laying here in front of me, you know. But I'm trying to get a way to present it. When you say anointing, what is your thoughts? And I know it's tied together, and I know it's been, you know. But see, the prophet said the anointing was supreme power and control. Now you remember when he was expressing that about the Lord Jesus, when he's in Luke, there are about 4 or 5, everywhere it is, I got it written down, 4 or something, where he said, I'm anointed to preach the gospel. He said, now that was the greatest anointing that had ever been. But said he wasn't up running aisles and screaming glory, hallelujah. He said he sat down. He said the anointing is upon me to preach the gospel, the deliverance and all that. Said he sat down, handed the book back, sat down and said, you know, precious words proceeded forth from his lips. He said, we think of the anointing as just running and going and then all of this going, the great outpouring, you know. He said, the anointing is supreme power and control. He said, Jesus knew who he was. And see, then he knew he was anointed. Now, I've tried to get people around the world to see this, but it's hard for them to do it. Brother Brown said, the anointed became anointed. Because he was born the anointed. He was born Lord the Christ. He didn't become the Christ. He was born the Christ. He was anointed. God came down to live in human flesh. That's the anointing. I'd write that down if I was you to think on it. God came down in human flesh to live in a baby. That's the anointing. Now you can cover sanctification, because that's what happened in the sanctifying of the temple and the thing, but I prefer not to go that way right now. I'm going a little bit different. I'm going with a life. And then you'll see, he was born Lord the Christ. He was born the anointed. The anointed was God in human flesh. All right. Then he was anointed for his ministry. That's what he's dealing with there in Isaiah 61, the same as Luke. He's anointed for his ministry. There's many times in the Bible that it speaks of the Holy Spirit coming down upon him. Like on a Mount of Transfiguration when he's totally overshadowed. But see, we get everything in our mind and we have our own preconceived thought. Because What do you think it means, the anointed? Well, it's that glory, that's that. Now, you didn't listen to what I read. Moses anointed the temple with oil. Right? Then he anointed Aaron with the same anointing. Then when they got everything finished, and it was all dedicated, anointed, then the Shekinah glory filled the building. See, everybody wants to say the Shekinah glory is just the anointing. Fine, that's wonderful. But you're only getting a half of the story. You're not even getting involved. When Moses got the temple ready, the Shekinah glory came in after the anointing. That's what I said. You say, anointing. Oh, that's just the power of God. That's just the presence of the Lord. The Shekinah glory came after the dedication of the temple, after the anointing of the temple. Read your Bible. I read it to you. I just read the part of where it was anointed of, you know, Moses anointed Aaron and all of the things in the building. And I said, remember, he anointed Aaron. Now, when you get over there in Chronicles, there's an odd one appears also, because I remember preaching on it years ago, and I didn't bring the quotes because I didn't get it until today. That's what I'm going to say this way. You remember when they reconstructed the temple? They never anointed it again.
Right.
Now, your prophet said it. Go read your Bible and see if it did. The prophet said because it was already anointed.
Right.
The one time with Moses was enough. And actually, see, Moses didn't build the temple. Moses only had the part in the wilderness. You know, the tent, the things. Solomon is the one that built the temple. All right? But listen, when they brought the two tables of stone, that Brother Branham's on a message on adoption, I think it is. I can get it for you in a hurry. He said that when the capstone come into the temple, he said the two tables of stone was the word. He called it the capstone. That's why he said Jesus come riding in, the capstone come riding in on a white donkey down through Jerusalem.
Right.
You didn't see the great Shekinah glory hanging over Jesus and everything just out of his way and all. No, he's heading right straight to Calvary. See, once those two tables of stone was put in the correct place, then the Shekinah glory came. The same as Exodus 40 and 35, or right in there, 34. That when they finished the temple and things, the Shekinah glory came. Right. You say, well, Brother Dale, what are you trying to get at? Trying to get our understanding in the right place. What does it mean to anoint the Most Holy? They didn't have to re-anoint the temple when it was restored. But the Shekinah glory came into the temple when it was restored. Oh, church, if you could just see what I'm talking about. When this bride reaches her place back where she's supposed to have been in the faith of the fathers and there's things to happen. There's a Shekinah glory to fall upon this bride. There's a baptism of the Holy Ghost to fall upon this bride that'll fill every fiber of your being, the prophet said, and take us into rapture. That's the Shekinah glory. But what's the anointing? Well, that's the Shekinah glory. You only got part of the story. Listen. Moses, as I said, poured that anointing oil upon the thing of the temple. It wasn't done again in Chronicles. But you see, when it comes again in the end time, in the millennium, the temple's going to be anointed again. And I thought you believed what the prophet said, that we are the anointing to the temple. He said the anointing is upon them. So what does it mean to anoint the most holy? See, you're dealing with a great variety of things in the Bible when you speak of anointing, and then you speak of Shekinah glory, you speak of headstone and things. You've got to get it all together to understand what really happened. Jesus was anointed for his ministry. He knew exactly what he was doing. I thought he gave us, as I was covering the other week, I thought he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See, on the day of Pentecost, everybody looks at things and they say, well, on the day of Pentecost, boy, they were just shouting, speaking in tongues, they were just doing... The Bible says... The Bible said, tongues of fire appeared to each one and set on each one. Then, they come downstairs, outside, right, and were speaking in tongues. Right. We don't have the prophecy correct, is what's wrong with us. You know what I said this morning about prophecy? Prophecy is the setting in order of scriptures. Right. We don't have the scripture set in order. Amen. It wasn't the speaking in tongues and the signs and the wonders. That was the Shekinah glory working through the church. The real thing was when that soul of Almighty God that was the anointed one then he became anointed on the River Jordan. And he came into the great things of Mount of Transfiguration. But yet it was the life that was in that man that was that tongue of fire setting on each one. The life wasn't out there speaking in tongues. That was a manifestation through the people. And they weren't speaking in tongues like Pentecostals taught it. They were speaking in a language. Because the people said, why hear we every man in our own tongue? And it named about 6, 8, or 10 different languages it was there. And everybody was hearing. The mystery has never been in speaking. It's always been in the hearing. But yet the world built on tongues as an evidence. Tongues of fire set on each one of them. But do you understand what I'm saying? See, that tongues of fire, there probably wasn't no great things happening. That all at once, it was just something come into the presence of the people. Then they began to... I mean, I don't think it's all sitting up there, whoopee, the Holy Ghost has finally come. No, I'm not stupid. But it just began to work through them. Probably in a soft, wonderful thing of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that we call it. It was just a smooth, just working gradually. It just kept going more and more. And then they probably begin to sing and to worship and to do and to speak with other languages. See, we think the anointing is that great, big thing, you know. Oh, I'm anointed. I never will for not. I'm not throwing off on a man. I love the man. He's dead. I love him. But I remember we said something to him one day about something he preached wrong. And he said, don't talk to me now. I've got the anointing on me. I've just quit preaching. I've got the anointing. Well, hey, that's when I want you to talk to me if you're going to talk to me about the Word. If you're going to try to show me I'm off the Word, do it right after the service in the back room, you know. Or right out here. It doesn't matter to me. Because that's when I want you to talk to me, while the Holy Spirit is there. But see, everybody thinks the anointings is all kind of different things. The anointing is upon the bride that comes back in the millennium, your prophet said. You know why? Because we're part of the original anointing. I told you I was talking about a person, not some shower, some blessing, some forms. Anointed ones out there got things like that. But that anointing is that new birth that come to you.
Amen.
That's why the anointing is upon the bride that rides into the millennium. The anointing is upon the bride that rides into the millennium. All right. See, because she is one with Him. Now the anointing that left Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was not the life of God. You know what I'm saying? Now come on, get what I'm saying. It was His ministry that left Him in the garden. Because that was what came on Him on the River Jordan. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. That's what came on Him on the River Jordan. But it came on the one that was already the anointed Messiah.
Right.
Lord the Christ.
Right.
See, your new birth brings you the very life of Christ within you.
Right.
That's the anointing I want. That's the supreme power in control.
Right. Amen.
Then the Lord called me one day to preach the gospel. Then you can have a man of transfiguration in your life of a great hear ye him. That's no more. That's not a different anointing. It's just the way God is dealing. See, Jesus said, I'm anointed. He said, I am the Lord, the Christ. But said, now I've been called to preach. That call to preach left him in the garden because he didn't preach anymore. Pilate and them tried to get him to talk. He said, it's over with. Do what are you going to do with this body? It's over with what I preached. Are you this? Are you that? You say it. That's up to you. Do what you want to. I'm through preaching. Didn't he tell the disciples not to preach no more? Because he's with them down there where he said, I'm not going to be with you. You don't preach no more. You go up there and you wait. That's where our problem is. Let me tell you about Jesus, you know, without the new birth. But get what I'm trying to say. And you'll see why the temple has to be built. Right. On a little message called Satan's Eden. I don't know how far I'll get here, so I'll just try to stick to a little bit at this time, and we'll take it up next time. On a message called Satan's Eden, Brother Branham on page 25, he's quoting the scripture, or giving the scripture where it says the first heaven and the first earth is passed away, which is over in Revelation 21. First heaven and first earth is passed away. He said, what is the first heaven? He said, it's the millennium. He said, what is the first earth? He said, it's now. Huh? Go read it. The first heaven is the millennium, because that's when heaven ruled over earth. There's never been a time on earth outside of the fall in the garden, you know, from when that fall come, there's never been a time that heaven was ruling over earth. So when the fall came, this entered into being known as Satan's domain. So the first heaven is the millennium. The first earth is now. Now, in Isaiah it says, I create new heavens, plural, Read it. Isaiah 65:17, I think it is. You want to turn and read. I create new heavens. Plural. You know, many. But it said, I create a new earth. It doesn't say earth. All right? Because the heavens will one day be on fire. The heavens one day will pass away. And heaven will come to earth in the millennial reign. Because that's the first heaven. See, we deal with the first heaven like dimensional things. Don't get that mixed up with what I'm talking about. See, we talk about heavens as being up so far, it's up so far, and then you're going up into glory and all like that. You can talk about the heavens of heavens, you know. I believe it's Paul speaks of that. Don't get that involved with what I'm talking about. Because what I'm talking about is that he creates new heavens. See, the millennium is going to be the first heaven. Huh? But then the future home is coming down over in Revelation 21 out of heaven. And it says the heavens and the earth will pass away. So get what I'm saying? The millennium will be heaven on earth. All right? And there'll be a temple there. Moses won't come down with oil to sprinkle all over the temple. He won't take an Aaron, a high priest, an anointing with the oil. The anointing is upon the bride. Because she's part of the original anointing. So remember in Revelation 19 about verse 5 or 6, said her bride hath made herself ready. She's become part of the original anointing, which is the new birth. Are you following what I'm saying? Jesus Christ, when he was born, he had that anointing in him because that anointing was Almighty God. Supreme power in control, that at 12 years old, he could tell his mama, straighten her out on what she was talking about.
Right.
And the Pharisees and all he's talking to. But we only look at Shekinah glories and stuff like that. That's what I've tried to show you. The prophet said, even two tables of stone coming into the temple, he said that was the headstone. Well, then the headstone's not the anointing like anointing that we think about. The headstone is supreme power and control. Brother Brown said they'll take you out on the backside of the desert, visit you with an angel, give you something for the people. That's what he called the headstone. What was the headstone to Brother Branham? I believe it was out there in Tucson, Arizona when those angels come down. Because he come back to preach the gospel that he hadn't preached before. It's like Jesus was anointed to preach. Brother Branham became anointed to preach. But his new birth was the original anointing. That's why you don't have to have another anointing in the end time, because the original outpouring at Pentecost of the new birth now is an ever born again believer down through the church ages. Because that's your new birth. That don't have anything to do with the anointing to preach, the anointing for this, that, or the other. It was the coming of the Lord that I told you about. It's like Luther, Brother Brown said, we're part of the rapture. Why? Because it's the coming of the Lord. You got to have the Lord here before you can have a rapture to go there. So the Lord was descended in Luther. When Brother Branham preached the message of the descending, he tied it together with Luther and them. The just shall live by faith. That's part of the original anointing. But you see what I'm talking about? On earth, Moses anointed the temple. Isaiah called it a new city. That's why Isaiah 65 can be used at the millennium, which is page, I forgot it down, it's in here, page 65. No, wait a minute. Page 67, Christ the mystery of God revealed. He talks about that being the millennium. Isaiah 65. But then he goes on over to the future home that we'll cover later. And he covers Isaiah 65. And he says that's the future home. Because one of them brings it up so far, the other one carries it on. Same scripture. Alright. Now listen. Then if what we're talking about is true, then the promise to David, that his son would sit on the throne, is a fulfillment of the Bible, right? So when Moses anointed the temple, you didn't have to re-anoint it when it was rebuilt. But when you got a new city, Isaiah says, when you got a new city, you got to have an anointing. But it won't be Moses running around with oil sprinkled on everything. That was back there. It'll be me and you as we walk around. It'll be us as we ride back in Revelation 19, riding up on white horses with him, and a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all that's in capital letters. The anointing to the temple in the millennium, because it's going to be a new temple. It's going to be a new heaven. Was you listening to what I said a minute ago? First heaven is the millennium. Huh? He's going to create new heavens. So first heaven is the millennium. So in the millennium, you got a new creation. Are you listening? A new creation has to be anointed. The reconstructing of the temple wasn't a new creation. You didn't need to anoint it. It was already anointed. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But when you come with a new creation, which is the millennium, to the first heaven, you'll have the anointing of the temple, but the anointing of the temple will not be oil poured upon the products within it. But it'd be the glory of the Lord riding with his bride. The prophet said, she'll be the anointing. And check and see if he didn't call her New Jerusalem. You want me to read it? Anointing up would be upon them, the New Jerusalem. See, one day there'd be a New Jerusalem come down out of heaven to dwell on a new earth. Not a different earth, but a redeemed entire earth. Not another earth, but a redeemed earth. See, the anointing will not be putting back oil again. That original one was putting oil upon. Once that oil was put on, then the Shekinah glory came. Once you and I are born again, then in our journey down through time can come the anointing of Christ. Sure. The Shekinah glory. To fill every fiber of our being. We're going to have a new birth. Not saying we haven't had a new birth. Because it's like Jesus. If he hadn't been the anointed one, then he was just a man, as they're saying with this River Jordan doctrine. He was just a man until the anointing came on him. And when it left him in the garden, it left him just a man. Brother Branham said, no man can die for you and I. He said it took God Almighty himself. That would mean not that God come. That would mean that God sent a son. Come on, them people don't even know what they're talking about. I'm not against them. I'm here trying to get me and you to see it. I just bring those things out to make it see where you can see what we're doing here. We don't have to be anointed again. When you're born again, that is the anointing of the Lord. That is the joy of the Lord. That is the presence of the Lord. Sure, then we can be anointed to preach. We can be anointed to sing. We can be anointed to all kinds of things.
Right.
But it's got to come from the original or it's no good.
Right.
That's why your anointed ones are anointed to sing, to worship, to preach, to do
right.
things. But it's doing them no good.
Right.
But you see, church, what I'm talking about? That anointing oil that was taken by Moses and put on. It's not in the millennium that he had to take an oil and put on. It's when the bride comes back who is still part of the original anointing, because we don't come back by ourselves. We come back with him riding on white horses. We come back with him as the anointing. The prophet said the anointing is upon them. See, Moses spoke. When he was anointing the temple, he spoke of a coming Christ. We believe that. But he also spoke of a millennial reign. Because David is promised that his son would sit on his throne. In the original temple of God. The one that should have been had there been no fall. That's what your millennial temple is going to be. It's going to be a natural constructed place. It'll be there for his benefit. But we can be there with him. But everywhere we go, the anointing oil is there. It's like Joseph. And where Joseph went,
right.
everything blossomed.
Right.
Throwed him in jail. He come in charge of it.
Right.
Put him out over the grain and it growed. Everywhere you go, like Brother Dick was talking about there before service, or this morning, that General Motors plant stayed there. It's still there for Wayne.
That's right.
It'll be there until something better comes along.
That's right.
Why? Because the anointing was there.
That's
right. I'm not claiming all of it. I'm just telling you my part of it.
That's right.
I knew this message. Brother Moore had introduced me to the message. I got an opportunity, many of you know about it. I got an opportunity to become a boss over a construction crew of building bridges. Man wound up with 20-something different bridge building crews. Besides all of the common, scraping up and doing things with bulldozers and stuff. One of the biggest men in Gainesville, in that business. He had two crews at that time. He wanted me to be the boss over one of them. But you see, I prayed and asked God, and God told me to go back to General Motors. Well, when I went back to General Motors, that's where you came from.
Right.
I say what you want to. Do what you want to. Well, I'd have heard it anyway. That's the way people think. Who are you? I'd have heard the message anyway. You trying to claim something? No, I'm not trying to claim something. I'm telling you what happened.
That's right.
Did it happen?
Right.
Well, then don't argue about it. You wouldn't have got it nowhere else.
Amen.
If we'd ever get rid of that part of our mind that we think, oh, we can make it by ourselves. I'll take you back down to Athens years ago to where some sisters that wound up said they could get it without the ministry. And there's not a one of them till this day that's staying with the revealed word. The closest one I know is sitting in a tape church. She'll hear this. Because she don't know that I know the whole story. Because I know she was involved in it. But those ladies got so much until one of them, our piano player, totally backslid to the basis that she was gone. She told me what they believed. See, them sisters got to the place that they said, we can get it ourselves. We don't need no preacher. That one wound up calling me the devil. Telling me I was the Pope. I was all kind of things. I said, Betty, that ain't got nothing to do with it. I ain't arguing with you about nothing. I'm just telling you that devil's got to leave you. Little old young strapping of a kid in this message. But yet I believe God's word. I ain't got nothing against them. I loved every one of them. I still do. But I'm telling you, you get that idea in your mind, I can get it myself. I don't have to take, that's what I said this morning, it's hard to get one man to believe another. It's what your prophet said. I don't have to get it from Brother Dale, I'll go somewhere else. Well, why don't you leave now? And you save me trouble and save you trouble. You say, you shouldn't talk like that, Brother Dale. Well, why? I'm not mad. I'm telling you the truth. We've got to get to the place to find the Word and believe it. Because let me quote Brother Branham. The Word does not have to be anointed. You believe I can produce that quote? He said the Word is already anointed. He said we need to be anointed to see what it says. It don't have to be anointed. The Word's already anointed. Because that's Jesus Christ. That's when He walked out there 12 years old. He was that anointed Word. That's what gets me these people on the River Jordan. They say He was the Word at 12 years old. But He wasn't God. I can't find that. Because it said in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. They can't deny what Brother Brown said. He said there was a word correct in the era. But listen, church, do you see what I'm talking about? See, the first heaven is the millennium. Because that'll be the first time that heaven can truly rule over earth. And the anointing is upon the bride that rides back into the millennium. Because we ride back with Him. We're part of that soul that He is. Because when He come, Brother Brown said, I come with Him. That I was in Him when He walked the shores of Galilee. What part of Brother Branham was in Him? Part of that very soul of Almighty God, which is the Word of God made flesh. There's your anointing. That's what's on us when we come back into the millennium. The Word that we are in our heart. That's when the new creation comes into view. Now how long you want us to go back and cover Revelation 3:14? The message to this age is what? That He is the beginning of the creation of God. Sure, we say, oh God, create, 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 and then He quit creating. Tell me, show me that where He ever quit creating. He quit creating a physical, you know, a product like that. Because Jesus wasn't a product that spoke into existence, you know, out somewhere. He still had to have the wound of Mary to come through.
Amen.
But He was a new creature. And Paul said, we are a new creature in Christ Jesus by the new birth.
That's
right. So in the millennium, the new Jerusalem, which is the bride of Jesus Christ, can come down out of heaven to rest upon earth. That anointing of that original word that's in me and you, we don't have to be anointed again. We're the anointing of the temple which was spoken of by Moses. That's why the prophet tied it together like that. He said, we're the anointing to the temple. He didn't say Jesus would ride back and be the anointing, or Jesus would come back and anoint everything. There is no anointing of the temple in the millennium like that. It's the presence of the Lord, which is in the bride of Jesus Christ. anointed. Anointed ones can be anointed on their spirit. But you're only dealing with your kind of glory style form there. You're not dealing with a real anointing that is supreme power in control. Heaven will one day truly rule over this earth. Since the Garden of Eden, there has never been a time like will be in the millennium. Never been a time. The anointing will be upon the bride of Jesus Christ when she rides back with Him. And we don't have to go around and not touch all of the things. We do that while we're here. We come in here, we rented this building, we came in here, we took oil and we anointed everything, the walls and the ceiling, the everything. Why? Because you ought to do that. We dedicated it to the Lord. We got new pews. I took oil, went down the aisle. Prayed and anointed all the new pews. Because you ought to do that. Because that all speaks of something. See, that all speaks of what's in your heart. Notice what I'm trying to say. The anointing will be upon the bride. Daniel 9:24 is not the anointing of a man. You know when it says anoint the most holy? It's the anointing of the temple that man will live in.
Right.
And you see, the reason that you're having to do is because it's a new creation. All new creations have to be anointed. That's what you are. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. There's your anointing.
Amen.
Jesus had to be anointed because He was a new creation. But this anointing is the anointing of eternal life. Even Adam in the garden, by being a new creation, he was anointed with eternal life, according to blasphemous names, the prophet said. Any new creation is anointed. Jesus said, I'm anointed. He was already
right.
Eternal.
Right.
He was already Almighty God.
Amen.
He was already the Shekinah glory. But He was anointed for ministry to go out. To preach the gospel. The bride is already anointed. We have the same anointing of Jesus Christ in that original creation. We're not the anointed by the anointed. We are part of the original anointing. Do you get it? The Holy Ghost that's in you, the prophet said, is the same Holy Ghost that came on the day of Pentecost. He said it's the same Holy Ghost that lived in Jesus Christ. That's where people don't understand the soul of God and what it is. When the temple of the bride, when we come back to the faith of the fathers and things like that, headstone, that's not another anointing. Because if you don't have that new birth, you won't get that.
Right.
Probably said the new birth more important than anything in the world.
Right.
Listen. The prophet said the word is already anointed.
Right.
He said the word don't have to be anointed. He said it's already anointed. He said we need to be anointed.
Right.
We need a revelation.
Right.
Brother Branham called it paragraph 125 of the sixfold purpose. He said she is the new Jerusalem. Using even Revelation 21. Because he can use that for the millennium because he's a prophet. He can use Revelation 21 to be the millennium, or he can use Isaiah to be the millennium. But he can use Isaiah 65 to be the future home. He can use Revelation 21 to be the total future home. Why? Because it's just a continuation. You and I will be the anointing to that temple in the millennium. But it'll be upon us. Not upon us like anointed ones out there. It's upon them, see. It'll be in us. The bride of Christ. See, then in the future home, see, there's a destruction of all the things that's in the millennium. You know, I don't understand all of it because I don't claim to. But there's a destruction because Satan's loose for a little season. Then you got the battle of Gog and Magog. Then you got a spiritual burning and cleansing. Then you got a future home. I'll get to that next week if the Lord keeps dealing with it. Because Revelation 21 says it's a future home. John can't describe the bride without describing the city, and can't describe the city without describing the bride. Go read it. Why? Because they're so much alike. That new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven is going to come down on a new earth, not another earth. This earth redeemed. We know the story. That's why I'll probably cover future home right out of this. It'll come down upon this earth that has went through a new creation.
Right.
And it'll be the new Jerusalem. The same Jerusalem. Jesus is building that. Come on. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come and bring you unto myself. The prophet said Jesus is building that future home. But you know what? That future home is going to come right down out of heaven. But you know, just as that future home comes down out of heaven, or is prepared, ever what you want to call it, there's a bride identically to fit the city. See, that'll be the new Jerusalem. But we're not over there. We're over here where the millennium, see, is the first heaven. And in the first heaven, you've got an anointing of the erected temple. You got an anointing of the erected temple in the millennium. See? Because we're the anointing. We're the anointing to the millennium temple. See? Not putting oil all over it, I done explained it. We're the anointing to the temple in the millennium because it'll be a new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven that time. Which is the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is the new Jerusalem. That's the real city that they should have been. See, there shouldn't have been no fall, and the millennium would have still been the first heaven. Because it would have been just an eternal millennium. There's no way to explain that, but Brother Lee Vail said one time that it's really the word is millennial. Ever how you, not millennium with an M on it, but a I-E-L, millennial. And he said millennial can mean thousands. What does it matter to us? The world is going to be here for 1,000 years because the Bible says it. But what's it going to amount to us because we'll already be eternal? I'm in the millennium now. Better let me restate it. The millennium is in me now. The anointing is in me now. What? The anointing to that temple is in me now. When are we going to believe who we are? When are we going to believe what God has made us, not what we are? Oh, we're great, son. We're not worth nothing. It's what He has made us and not we ourselves, the Bible says. He said, I create a new Jerusalem, a rejoicing. That's what the new Jerusalem is, a rejoicing. We sing that about the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
Because we, you and me, the bride of Christ, within us is the new birth. That is the new creation. When we ride back with Him in the millennium, we are the anointing to the temple. There won't be a killing and this and that and the other. There won't be a sacrificial animals in the millennium. It'll be understanding what those sacrificial animals all meant, what all those things was about, and how he... You think I enjoy preaching now? You wait till we get over there when there ain't no, you know, saying, oh, they're tired, they wore out, and half asleep, and everything else. Won't be doing that. I want to have me a joyous time when I get there. But you know what it'll be doing? It'll be doing what I always wanted to do. Listen. Listen is what I want to do. Because faith comes by hearing, not by preaching. Somebody's got to preach, but faith comes by hearing. That's why I love to hear preachers preach. They know what they're talking about. But I am about like that old man was, that old heathen. He said, they don't know what they're talking about. Like one feller said, the two things that made him more want to preach was a feller, one of them that could preach and the other one that couldn't preach, made him want to preach. But you see, church, God thinks so much of his bride. Now, all of that anointing back there of those things just speaks of you. You understand? Just speaks of you. Let's stand. Come on, brother. If I choose to pick up any of the other, I'll take it on, but I believe you got what I'm talking about. We are the anointing to the temple. We don't have to have another anointing. We're part of the original. I love the anointing, don't you? Because it's supreme power and control. I love the good feelings of the Holy Spirit. I love that. You're not with me out there all the time when I'm sitting maybe on a deer stand reading, I don't kill nothing. Because I'm not concerned with killing anything. I just got where I don't really care. Got a life the other day. I went to down there and the guy said, well, you've got a new license if you need yours. And I just had them run them off because last year when they run off my license, I can show them to you. They gave me a double print where you were allowed to kill 12, you know, 10 does and 2 bucks. I had 24 tags. That guy run them off this year and handed it to me. And I looked at him and I started laughing. I said, fella, what are you doing? He said, well, that's what the thing printed out. I said, I got 24 tags. When a regular hunter ain't got but 12. And here I am. I said, I don't kill nothing anyway. I just love to go hunting. You know, have a good time out there with the Lord. By myself. And rejoicing. Because see, I know what the anointing is. You know what the anointing is to me? It's just what I was sitting in that back room a while ago, and the Lord said, here, you're saying it right, but said, explain, there's a difference between the anointing and the Shekinah glory. And that was what I was trying to explain. The Shekinah glory came after the Word came into the temple. The Shekinah glory comes after you and I become to the full manifestation of the Word, and then there'll be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that'll fill every fiber of our being and take us in a rapture. I'm looking forward to that, but I'm really enjoying what I'm doing now because anointing is supreme power and control. Now then, if you're shouting glory, hallelujah, everybody misunderstands me. They think I'm against those things. I did not say that. That's a lie of the devil for somebody to think that Brother Dale is not emotional. It's just I try to control mine. That's what Brother Richard says. I don't see how in the world he does it. That little button right there, that little thing that's on that pulpit has got 49 million circles on it because I stand right here and hold on instead of running up and down through the aisles like others do. Why? Because I'm trying to let that Lord speak to me. And I know a lot of you love to see somebody emotional, and I do too. I enjoy it. like I told that brother down at Brother Hembry's that time, I think it was Brother Roberts that wrote all those things, and I told you about him running around behind Brother Homer Brown that time and all, and I enjoyed that because I knew he'd gonna run. Well, if they'd run a few more times, I'd probably have been with him. Old Brother Ray, he used to walk back and forth, and he ain't got room back there now, but that's the way he used to do. I enjoyed that. I get so thrilled. I look at him. I say, well, Brother Ray is anointed. Look at him. He's just singing, just going back and forth. Well, I enjoy that. Old Brother McGarrett, he said, Brother Dale, when he came over, he said, Brother Dale said, I used to run a little bit and I get anointed. I said, well, just don't stop. And make sure you don't stop. I might run into you. Because you see, I love the presence of the Lord. I love the Shekinah glory. I love the feelings. But most of all, I love when He speaks to me. And maybe a still small voice just speaks to me in the middle of the night. I wake up and He just speaks a word. And He don't explain everything to you. Just one split second in the presence of the Lord. That's where it's at. Go ahead, brother.
That's right. 395 in the Spiral Book.
395 in the Spiral Book.
Will you live for Jesus and be?
Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
Would you walk with Him within the narrow way?
Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. Amen.
His fire can make you what you want to be.
Our brother needs a touch in his body. I remember one time when I was talking about back trouble and was praying for those this morning. Brother Harris had back trouble. He was hurting like everything. His wife was trying to get him to go to the doctor and everything. But he said, you get me up to the church. He said, just get me up to the church and I'll be all right. Well, we're here again. Go. We're here again. You don't have to pray when you know.
His power can make you what you ought to be.
It's to know. You don't have to pray. Just believe it and say, thank you. Just get me into the presence. I was in the hospital years ago. My back was killing me.
Would you in the kingdom find a place?
I finally got out of the hospital.
Would you prove him true?
Somebody was going to preach for us for like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of that week here.
Would you in his service always serve
the day? I left the hospital. The doctor said, you can go home. You'll go home and lay down. I said, okay, doc. I just grinned.
Make what you want to be.
I knew we were going to have service that night. There wasn't no way that I was going to be it. You know what I done? You've heard me. I brought a heat pad. I plugged it into the wall, and I sat down there with that heat pad on my back. By the way, home and crawled into bed. No telling how long I'd have been there. I might have been operated on by now. But instead of that, God came down and touched me, and I walked out of here with my healing. Why can't we believe that? Why can't we just accept what the Word says?
Lord, you are more precious than silver.
Anybody else?
Lord, you are
holy than gold. Just believe God's word.
Lord,
just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord,
I have what I asked for.
Nothing I desire compares to you.
The three most valuable things of life in the natural. What? silver. How costly, isn't it? Gold. I don't know, $400 or $500 an ounce now. Diamonds. We saw one here a while back. We're looking for my wife, a ring. The lady laid one down. I said, what is that? She said, 10,000 or something like that. I forgot what it was. Put that in back. We couldn't afford that. Of course, my wife knows because I'd have bought it for her. She's the one that said, put it back. Because I'd have bought it for her. But the three things of life, they don't mean a thing. Whether or not you're born again. Joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. You believe it? Then sing it unto Him and think about it. I love you, Lord, and I live my life. Just talking about Jesus Christ. Maybe you hadn't heard words like maybe you heard today of before a preacher speaking, but it's just talking about Jesus. He was the total fulfillment of all that Old Testament scripture. When they washed them pots and pans and they made all that gold and they made all of them utensils and they dedicated the temples and they done, that was speaking of the coming of Jesus Christ. Why can't we see that all in the New Testament is speaking of Jesus Christ? Paul said it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right morning, dawn. And throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him. And forever, one more time before we go home, just think about Him and cherish Him and worship Him. All King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel. King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'm going to pray. And forevermore, I'll pray. Father, we thank You for this afternoon, Lord, that we've had a chance to talk about You. Thank You for coming and speaking to our hearts and so that we could express more of what we're trying to talk about and giving us a way to show the people, Lord. And I pray that You would just open our understanding because I can't, Lord. As I said this morning, the moment I try to speak, I know that automatically hides it because of the human mind. And Lord Jesus, just come on the scene and speak to the people's heart. In the middle of the night, in the quietness of life or whatever. Maybe the sister's going about cleaning their house or doing something. The brother's on the way to work or just sitting back and relaxing or whatever. And then You speak. One word from You is more worthy than all of the vocabulary that the entire world could put together. We love You, Father. We thank You. And just have Your way, Lord. We ask You in the beginning of this series, Lord, to heal the sick and to touch the people, Lord. And we'll believe that You have. So then if the people can't believe the words, then truly they could believe the works. Because that's what it's all for. Help us to see that truly we are part of that original anointing of the life that was in you, Lord, as you walked upon the earth. That we don't have to be anointed again. We have many anointings that come to us, Lord, and we know that, and you did. But we're part of the original. Being part of the original is no more carriers or anything, because we come back to the correct revelation. Just bless each one. Bless Wade as he's there ministering this afternoon to the people. Give him souls for his labor, Lord, and protection on the way home. And Lord, as we travel our ways home and everything, you just be with each one. Protect each one and guide us all in your love. As the tapes go out, I pray, Father, that you, Lord, would come on the scene. And that, Father, if someone would hear just one tape, maybe they'd go back and try to listen to others to be able to understand. Because I realize, a human mortal, we can't express what we'd like to. But we love you. And we thank you for all things. Bless the people on the highway. Give them a safe journey. And let your love be with us in Jesus' name. You dismissed. Hold on just a minute. Everybody wait just a minute. Brother, come. Hold that up, turn it around. A lot of you may not understand what we're doing, because we got on a list years ago of ordering the books from Brother Mamelis. And it was just for the ones that were on the list. And sometimes they're in my office, and sometimes they're Brother Colley's got them to give them out and things. But you can see the books. They're individual books. They're not spoken word books from Jeffersonville, Indiana. That's individual books that are paid for by the individuals to have the message, and they're not for everybody. If you want them, tell us and we'll put your name on the list. And then that way we can get more of them. But they're the ones from Brother Mamelis, of him printing the ones, you know, and most of us are just like we've got. We don't need them anymore on one basis, because I get mine, but I just put them up in the rack. Because I've got the computer, I've got the everything, you know, and all of the doings, and these are just a little bit different in volumes, and whatever you call it, chapters and verses and things, is the way it's done by Brother Branham, paragraphs and things. So sometimes it's hard to read them a little bit anyway. But you that want them, we're glad for you to get them. But if you get one and your name has not been on the list, please give it back to Brother Colley, to where that he can give it to the one that it's supposed to be given to. And if you want your name on the list to get them, let us know, and we'll be glad to do that.